Hallelujah. Let's just praise him. Hallelujah. Let's just give him a little praise. Hallelujah. Now I want you all to do 10 jumping jacks. No, I'm just kidding. Praise God. Hallelujah. Let's just open with a little bit of prayer here. I'm going to need some help today, so I need your help today to get through this message. It's not an easy message, but it's a message we all need. Hallelujah. Lord, give this preacher some anointing today, Lord Jesus, as he speaks your word, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Lord, open the eyes and the ears and the understanding of every person here today, Lord, so they know what you have in store for them, Lord Jesus. Lord, that they're not just ordinary people, Lord Jesus, that they're a royal priesthood, Lord Jesus, that they're your children, Lord Jesus. And Lord, you have more for them than what they see in this world, Lord Jesus. Lord, in the name of Jesus, anoint this teaching, Lord Jesus, and let us go forth today, Lord Jesus, with something in us today, Lord, that we leave here with something that we never had before. In the name of Jesus, I pray. And let's all give the Lord a hand clap of prayer. Hallelujah. Y'all may be seated in the name of Jesus, the only name under heaven by which man may be saved. Hallelujah. I love that name. I love that name. Whoa. I'm going to read a very familiar scripture today to you. And we're going to start in Acts chapter 3 and verse 1. And you don't need to stand up. You can just follow it if you want, because you're going to be getting some standing up here in a few minutes. Now, Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, Look on us. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Hallelujah. You know, Peter and John had just come a few days ago from the upper room with 120 people praying for 40 days, and they had been touched by the Holy Ghost. Now, the tradition demanded that he go to prayer every day. They went three times a day, and they went to the evening prayer, which was a prayer that was dedicated to Abraham and Jacob. And they weren't sure what to do as they neared the temple and they saw the lame beggar there. They'd seen him there every time he went. And I have a feeling, I don't know how many gates was at the temple, but I have a feeling that this was the only gate that was open. And I have a feeling that normally most of the people would go in another gate so they wouldn't see this beggar. Hallelujah. Because he was not very pleasant to see, and he was always asking them for money. You know, we do that a lot of times. We go by the things that we don't want to see. We just pass them by. We go around to the other door. Hallelujah. Now, Peter and John, they were kind of stuck because there was no other door open. And usually they would dig out a couple of mites and give to the man. But this time, they had no money at all. They had not a penny in their pockets because they'd spent all their money on food and stuff probably. I'm not sure, but I'm sure they never had that much money to start with. And they'd spent it on buying food and stuff while they were up in that upper room. Hallelujah. So Peter felt bad in his heart for this poor man that was asking for something in the hopes that he would get a few cents, a few pennies to buy food with that day. Hallelujah. Now I'm sure Peter probably looked in all his pockets to see if he had anything, and he didn't even have a penny. So he wasn't sure what to do. Now, Peter had seen And John, too, they'd walked with the Messiah for many years, and they saw him doing miracles. They saw him doing all of these wonderful things. But right up to this time, let me tell you something, Peter and John had never done anything on their own. They always had Jesus present. So whatever happened was if they did while Jesus was walking upon the earth with them. They had never done anything on their own. Hallelujah. They'd walk with him. They'd depended on him. If he said a miracle was going to happen, Peter said a miracle is going to happen. Something wonderful is going to happen. Then Peter started thinking and he started remembering every promise the Lord had made to them. And he remembered from Luke 24 and 49, and it says, "Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem till ye be endued with power from on high." And he remembered in Matthew 28 and 18, "And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth." And in Acts 1 and 8, he says, "But ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost had come upon you. Ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth." And Peter thought about these things. And he thought, well, the Lord gave me all of these promises. He said I was going to have some power. He says, you know, I'm not sure. He says, you know, I betrayed the Lord. I denied the Lord. But you know what? He still let me get up and preach. I was the first person allowed to preach after the day of Pentecost. Hallelujah. There must be something to what he said. Then Peter made one of the most important decisions in his life. Hallelujah. He decided to exercise the power that the Lord had promised him. And then Acts 3 and 16, Peter said, "Silver and gold I have none, but such as I have, I give thee." I give you what I have. I don't have any money. I don't have nothing, but I'm going to give you what I have because it was given to me. Jesus Christ gave it to me, and I'm going to give it to you. I'm going to use it. Whoa, hallelujah. And he took him by the, and he said, "In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. They all walked together in the temple, the lame man jumping and rejoicing. His ability to walk had been fully restored. Those useless limbs that had been laying there for all of those years, they were shriveled. His legs were probably that big around, little tiny legs, little feet that had no muscle, no strength, nothing in them. Hallelujah. All of a sudden, they're like normal feet. In fact, they were strong feet. He was able to jump up and down. Hallelujah. He was leaping. Hallelujah. He didn't need any help to walk. He could walk on his own. Hallelujah. You know, in Ephesians 1 and 3 and 20 says, "Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us." You know, we have power in us. We have power. You know, Brother Bendy was speaking the other day, the power of the name of Jesus. But you know what? He's given you some power. Peter said, you know what Peter said? What I have, I'm going to give you. He didn't say what Jesus has. He said, what I have, what has been given to me, I'm going to use it for you. He said, I'm going to do something on my own. I don't have to wait for Jesus. Jesus isn't walking with me anymore, but I know he promised me that I would have this power. If you've got the Spirit of the Holy Ghost living in you today, you have the same power. You have that power. You can do it. You don't have to wait for Brother Freddie to come here to heal. You don't have to wait for the pastor to lay his hands on you to heal. You've got that power in you already. You know, 1 Timothy 4:8 tells us, for bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is, and that of which is to come. You know, I was just reading, more than 45 million Americans belong to health clubs. We spend $19 billion a year on gym membership. $19 billion a year on gym membership. And you know what? They found out that too much physical exercise is not really that good for you. That you overdo it. That a lot of people tend to overdo it. And guess what? They destroy their muscles, their bones and tendons, are under excessive pressure. Hormonal balance in females can be disrupted. There's strain upon the heart and the cardio system. Hallelujah. Depression and anxiety comes because we don't meet the expectations that we expect from physical exercise. Hallelujah. You know, the power that was given to you when you received the Holy Ghost, oh, we say, well, it's power just to conquer sin. No, it's power over everything. That is power over everything. You have the power. You know, John 14:12 says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. Hallelujah. He said, you're going to do greater works. You're going to do stuff that I didn't even do. He didn't just address that to a few people. He addressed that. What did he say? If you believeth in me, that you have that power. If you have the power of the Holy Ghost, there is nothing that you can't do. But you know what? We possess a power and we don't even recognize it. We don't even use it. We're the ones that the Bible speaks about. We like to say, we like to quote that verse that says in Acts, in 2 Timothy 3:5, have a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. You know what? If you're not using that power that Jesus Christ is giving you, you are denying his power. You are saying, no, he doesn't have the power. He doesn't have the power to change things. You know, we deny the power of God all the time. When we're sick and need healing, we don't come to the altar. We don't seek prayer. I don't know how many people have said to me, No, I don't need any prayer. I'm doing okay. When they need prayer, when they need prayer. You know, we think there are situations that God can't do anything about. We think that we're in a situation that God is powerless. What's the matter with us? God is not powerless. God has dominion over everything. God can heal anything. God can take care of everything. But no, we say, oh, well, I don't think God can take care of this. I don't think anything can happen. You know, Jesus answered and said unto them in Matthew 22:29, and I love this, you do err not knowing the scriptures nor the power of God. You know, we sit there and I speak over myself too, and sometimes we just read the Bible. We read the Bible. We don't have a knowledge of it. We just read it and we don't understand it. Otherwise, we would realize the power of God. Hallelujah. We would realize that He has power over everything. Oh, hallelujah. You know, Matthew 28:18, and Jesus came and spoke unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Hallelujah. But you know what? We think God can't do it. We think God can't save an addict. We think God can't heal a person. You know, we think God can't raise a dead person. Let me tell you right now, we think God can't get us a job. We can't think job. God can't do anything for us sometimes. We take there and we say, oh no, God can't do this. Who do we think God is? God can do everything. He's all powerful. He made you. He gave you life. He gave you health. He can take it away from you or He can give it to you because He is the Almighty God. All power is given unto me. All power, not some power. And guess what? It's given unto you also. You know, our biggest problem is us. We're the one that doubt. I doubt. You don't know how many times I have questioned God. Can God do this? Can God take care of it? And you know what? I found out He can take care of everything. There is nothing He cannot take care of. You know, I want to tell you about a man, and I don't know, if it, I'm sure some of you have heard about him. His name was Smith Wigglesworth, and he was one of the greatest Pentecostal preachers ever to be. And you know, he had one thing, and he said, somebody asked him, well, how can you do all these things? And he said, it's real simple. I believe in that word of God. You know, 14 people were confirmed that He raised from the dead. 14 people that it's confirmed He raised them from the dead. You know what? His wife died. He raised her from the dead. And she told him, no, Smith, I gotta go. Jesus is calling me. He didn't doubt it. He didn't disbelieve it. Our problem is we don't believe it. Excuse me, I'm sorry, we don't believe it. You know, there used to be a lady in this church, and I don't know if you remember, I think her name was Sister Lucina, and her husband, he used to die, and she'd pray him back to life. And then one day, he said, I'm tired, I want to go. He waited till she went to the grocery store and he died, and he made sure he was in heaven before she came back so she couldn't call him back. Hallelujah. That was a woman that believed. That was a woman that had faith. She knew that God said, use it, use it. You know, Smith Wigglesworth, one of the greatest, his ministry was based on four principles. Read the Word of God. Consume the Word of God until it consumes you. Read it. Let it consume it. Pour it in your soul so there's nothing else in there. And third, believe the Word of God. And the most important thing is act on the Word of God. You know, I know that we, you know, God says here, 2 Timothy 1 and 7 says, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Hallelujah. You know, I know that we all walk around, well, I'm not a healer. I can't do this. I can't do that. I don't know how many, and I know that some of you know better. I know that some of you have been called to lay your hands on people for healing, but you're afraid to do it. I know because I was there. I don't know how many times that I would be afraid to touch somebody. And sometimes I'm still that way because I'm afraid that if I do it, it's not going to work. Hallelujah. But you know what? That doesn't matter whether it works or not. You know, God didn't just call a few people to be His. Hallelujah. God didn't say, oh, well, you got to have, you know, God gave the gifts to all of us. All of us have those gifts. All of us have those powers. We just don't use them. We don't exercise them. You know, 2 Corinthians 1 and 24 says, but unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God, because of the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For ye see your calling, brethren. You see your calling, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called, but God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And had these things, and these the base things of the world and things which are despised have God chosen, yea, and things which are not to bring to naught things that are. Hallelujah. You know what? If you have the Holy Ghost speaking in tongues as the evidence, then you have every power that is in that Bible. Hallelujah. You have every power that's in that Bible. But you know what? We refuse to exercise it. We'll sit there and we'll spend hours and billions of dollars to sit there and get our bodies into shape. But we don't want to spend any time getting our spirits into shape. We don't want to exercise our spirit. We just want to exercise that body. And you know what? God said, don't exercise your body. That ain't going to help you much. Hallelujah. Exercise your spirit. Use those powers. You know, listen to this. And Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and miracles among the people. Hallelujah. Stephen, he was nobody special. He was a waiter. He was a helper. Hallelujah. They brought him on board to help out with serving the women. Hallelujah. Peter was not an apostle. Stephen was not an apostle. Stephen was not a mighty disciple. Stephen was not a preacher. Hallelujah. But he did miracles and wonders among the people. Why? Because he exercised the power that had been given to him. He didn't sit down there in the pew and watch everybody else do it. Listen to me right now. God does not want you just to look and miracles and wonders. He wants you to participate and do miracles and wonders. Hallelujah. Why do you think he gave you the Holy Ghost? Why do you think he said you have power? He didn't say, well, I'm giving the preacher some power. I'm giving Brother Freddie some power. I'm giving Brother so-and-so some power. I'm giving Sister so-and-so some power. He said, no. He said, I'm giving it to you because my spirit dwells in you. Hallelujah. Listen to this. First, Ephesians 1 and 19. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places. For above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and have put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things in the church. For in him, Colossians 2 and 9, for in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. He said, you are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. You are complete in Jesus Christ. You have all of that power. You know, you have the same power to lay your hands on somebody and have their sight restored, have their hearing restored, have their body healed. Hallelujah. You know what? You can lay your hands on them and raise them from the dead too if you believe. Hallelujah. If you have that faith that I can do it, I can lay my hand on that person. Hallelujah. You can pray for prosperity in their life. You can pray for their families. Hallelujah. You, whatever they need, you can do it. You know, Sis Wigglesworth was not a super great person. You know what he was? He was an illiterate plumber. That's what he was. He was an illiterate plumber. He fixed toilets. He wasn't some great, mighty man of God to start out with. No. You know what? He couldn't even read. He couldn't read. The only thing he had is have his wife teach him how to read the Bible. But you know what? He didn't read any other book but the Bible. Sometimes I think we'd be better off if that's the only book we knew how to read. But you know what? You know what made Smith Wigglesworth different? You know, he wanted to be a preacher. He loved the Lord. But you know what? What did he do to make it so that he could lay his hands on people and bring them back to life? What made it so that he was one of the greatest healers there were? You know, he used to have healing things, and they told him he went to Switzerland or Sweden or someplace, and they said, well, you can't lay your hands on people. So he said, I want everybody in this place to lay their hands on their self, and you're going to be healed. And they laid their hands on themselves, and they were healed, because he knew that each and every one of us has that power inside of us. Hallelujah. They walked out of their thrown away crutches, walked out of wheelchair. The blind could see, the deaf could hear, all the lame could walk. Hallelujah. Because he knows, he knew what was going on. He knew who Jesus Christ was. You know, he went, he heard about Pentecostals. You know, he became a Methodist preacher. And he'd heard about Pentecost. But you know what? He had a hunger. He had a hunger for something more. He said, I know there's something more. The Bible told me there's something more. He said, I'm not getting enough. He says, I know there's more, more and more than what the Methodist Church has, more than what anybody else has. There's something that I just don't have it yet, but I'm going to get hold of it, and I'm going to use it. So he went. He heard about the Pentecostals that were being baptized in the Holy Spirit and speaking in tongues. Hallelujah. And I love that. He went to a meeting, and he was so hungry for God, he created all these problems, yelling out for the Holy Ghost. He was there for 4 days, and people said, get out of here. You're disturbing everything. And the day he was ready to leave, the preacher's wife prayed for him, and he got the Holy Ghost speaking in tongues. And when that happened, that made the difference. He said, I know there's something different. I know I got the power. I got the power. Hallelujah. I got the power now. I can heal people. I can lay my hands on them. I can make a change in their life. I'm sorry. I can't help it when I just get so excited. Hallelujah. Forgive me for that. Forgive me for that. Hallelujah. You know, if we look in Acts chapter 5, we see Peter, who decided to exercise that power. We see Peter down there, and all kinds of things are happening. Jesus isn't walking with him anymore. Jesus is not with him anymore. He's doing it on his own. He's already found out the secret. He says, all I had to do was exercise that power. He says, all I had to do was just let it out of me. I know it's in me, and I just had to let it out. Hallelujah. Listen to this. Acts 5 and 15. Insomuch as they brought forth the sick into the streets, and laid them on beds and couches, that at least the shadow of Peter passing by might overshadow some of them. There came also a multitude out of the cities round about unto Jerusalem, bringing sick folks, and them which were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were healed. Every one of them were healed. Hallelujah. You know, the only thing that limits our power is our doubt and our knowledge of the Scriptures. We doubt because we don't understand the Scriptures. We haven't made it a point in our lives to sit there and pursue the Word of God with every bit of what we have. You know what we need to do, every one of us? And I speak for myself. We need to sit here and pursue every bit of knowledge in this book. Not just read it, but pursue the knowledge that is locked inside of it. And we need to start exercising those powers. Hallelujah. You know, we have the power to, if we don't exercise that power, you know what happens? It withers. It dies. It's like a muscle that you have. If you don't use that muscle, what happens to it? It starts getting weak, and after a while, it dies and withers, and you can't even use it anymore. It's gone. Hallelujah. It's gone. And then you got to pray for resurrection. Hallelujah. But you know what? As long as you keep using those muscles that God gave you, as long as you keep using that power that God gave you, you know what's going to happen? It's going to get stronger and stronger and stronger and stronger. And pretty soon, they're going to look at your spirit, hallelujah, and the power that you have, and you're not going to look like some kind of a weakling. You're going to look like a big, huge bodybuilder. Your spirit is going to be so strong, and those things are going to be so powerful that all you have to do is reach out there and lay your hands on somebody. And I don't care what you think, that, well, I can't do it. I'm going to tell you a story in closing here. Hallelujah. I'd just come into the church. Hallelujah. I don't think I'd been in the church for a month. Hallelujah. But I was so excited that when I went to work, I told everybody about Jesus Christ, and I told everybody about the Holy Ghost, and I told everybody about speaking in tongues. I mean, if you came near me, you expected that's what you were going to hear. I was a purchasing manager. I told all the salespeople, when they made a sales call, forget the sales call. I want to tell you about Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. I want to tell you about what happened to me. And one day a lady comes up to me, and I didn't know her from anything. And she says to me, a lady just came off the street, and she says, I heard you to go to one of those churches where they pray for people for healing. And I said, yeah, I go to this church. It's a Pentecostal. They call it an apostolic church. And they pray for people for healing. She says, well, you know what? She says, I just been to the doctor, and a friend of mine told me about you. And I have spots on my lungs, my liver from cancer. And she says, I need somebody to pray for me. And I'm sitting there and I'm saying, Then I said, you know what? I'll pray for you. I'll do it. So I started remembering. I remember, oh, we need oil. We need oil to put on her head. So I ran back in the back, and we had a room where the returns were kept. And I couldn't find any olive oil, but I found a bottle of almond oil. So I put almond oil on my fingers, hallelujah. And I brought her in the back. I said, well, won't you step back here, and I'll pray for you. And then I'd seen people do it in the church, and I'd seen them lay their hands on the forehead and pray. I didn't have a clue what I was doing, but you know what? I said, I'm going to believe in this. Hallelujah. I said, I believe in this. I know it's going to happen. So I laid my hands on that lady's head, and I started praying, Lord, cure this lady of the cancer. Get those liver spots out of her, Lord. Lord, whatever it takes, cure her, save her. And I'm sitting there and I'm praying and I'm speaking in tongues. And I'm just going off, and the lady's like up there, got her hands in the air, and she's praying too, and all things. And I prayed with her, and after we're done, I, you know, said, well, God bless you. I hope everything turns out right. I figured, oh no, you know, it's just, poor lady's probably going to die in a week, you know. So about a week later, 2 weeks later, I get a phone call. And I said, hello, you know. She says, I don't know if you remember me. She said, but I came to the store and you prayed for me for healing. She said, I went back to that doctor, and she said, there are no more spots on my liver. Hallelujah. You don't need to be in the church for 30 years. You don't need to be in there forever. You don't need to be the preacher. You don't need to be somebody special. All you gotta do is be yourself. All you gotta do is raise your hand up and put them on somebody and pray for them. That's all you gotta do. You don't have to be special. God didn't say, oh, you have to be special. He said, no, I'm giving you that power. I want you to lay your hands on people. I want you to pray for them. I'll do the healing. It doesn't matter if it doesn't work. It doesn't matter. It's going to work.
Since then, I lay my hands on people. And some of them get healed. Some of them don't. I have no control over it. Some of them I lay my hands on. I don't feel nothing. I don't feel anything. But guess what? They feel something. That doesn't matter. It's not for me. It's not for me. It's for them. It's for them that I'm praying for. If I need something, somebody pray for me. I pray for myself, but guess what? It works better if you pray for me. I don't know why. Brother Kleindice, he said to me, I listened to him, and he said, the gifts are not for us. They're for other people. That's why God gives them to us. That we can show His glory. That we can show His power because He uses us. And I'm going to just give you a couple things how to help you exercise the Spirit. Pray for people. Lay your hands on them and pray for them. It doesn't matter who you are. You pray, Lord, heal this person. Lord, fix the situations in their life. Lord, help their family, Lord. Prosper them, Lord Jesus. Study the Bible. Just don't read it. Study it. Study it. Read it over and over and over until it's just so embedded in your mind that you can't get it out. Fast. Fast. Once in a while we need to fast. Meditate on God's Word. Think about what He has to say. And be obedient to God's Word. And the most important thing is, practice. How do you get to Carnegie Hall? Not because you're a great fiddler or a great piano player. It's practice, practice, practice. Keep on practicing it. Do it all the time. Do it all the time. Pray for your brother. Pray for your sister. You have that power to do it. Lay your hands on them and pray for them. You know, I was reading, it says, an ounce of practice is worth more than a ton of preaching. If you want to be able to do something to help your brother and sister, pray for them. Lay your hands on them and pray for them. Practice while using that power that God has given you. Let's all just give the Lord a hand clap of praise. And let's just say to ourselves, I'm going to practice what I hear preaching. I'm not preaching no more. I'm practicing in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Let's just all get together and just greet each other. If you know somebody that's sitting beside you that needs something,